Okay, Abayisa, because I do want to blinay the finish of the siman. So, because the Privy Kodesh Shum starting from Siman Tov Kuf Peivav. So I want to try to finish to get to that tonight. Blinay that. So we have the second line in Siman Tov Kuf Peisiv Beis. So Vizka Tasherat Gimel Po'om. So a middle of the sieve. I'm sorry about that. Siv Beis. So that's top of the second line from the page. Vizka Tasherat Gimel Po'omim. You blow Tasherat three times. What's Tasherat? Kieshvorim toot kio kimel pa'omim three times, v'tashat kimel pa'omim then three times, kieshvorim tkiyo v'terat kimel pa'omim. We'll be talking more about this mitzvah at a later shiur. V'toiv litkoya b'tzad yemin, and it is right to blow on the right side. To one who blows the shofar should blow it on his right side of his lip. B'tzad yemin im efshel litkoya b'kach, if he's able to. If for some reason his lip is unable to take that, so he's allowed. So lechatchila should blow on the right side. V'chein tzim liyapach hashofar lemalo, the shofar opening should be facing upwards. Shenema v'olo elokim b'sua. He says olo loshen aliyah, going up, which seems to imply that the opening of the shofar should be facing up. Now, why is it? Why lechatchila the shofar needs to be on the right hand side? Besides the fact that it seems the more practical, there's another reason as well. What is the reason why we blow on the right hand side? B'shtibu says, "B'tzad yemin shel peiv mishud ksiva ha'satan oymed al yeminoy lesitnoy." He says the satan stands on his right side to what does the satan do?
Impede.
Impede.
Stand away.
Okay. So therefore, the way I understand is, if the satan is like opposite us, so on his right side is the weapon, is the attacking side of the satan. We therefore we blow on the right side, on our right side, so it's like attacking. Kind of, I think that's what he means. To facing from the, we're trying to attack him from his vulnerable side. Oh, that's maybe what he means. Now, gentlemen, there is over here an interesting historical point. If you look at the Bi'alocha, you see over here something extremely rare, something unique in the whole Mishnah Berurah. It says, "Tov litkoya b'tzad yemin." I'm Mishnah Berurah. Oyd shemati b'shem Agon, Meiren Rav Reb Simcha Akoyin Tam Nochoin. He brings another reason over here. Without going into the reason that he actually says, he quotes over here, "Meiren Rav Reb Meir Simcha Akoyin." Who is that person that the Bi'alocha quotes called Meir Simcha Akoyin? The Meshech Chochma. Otherwise known as the Oyer Samech, who was the Rav in Dvinsk, who was a contemporary of the Chofetz Chaim. Nowhere, nowhere, nowhere in the Chofetz Chaim do we find him quoting contemporaries. Yeah. The Chofetz Chaim was very traditional. He wouldn't quote, you can see you. He quotes, you know, he'll quote the Taz, he'll quote the Magen Avraham, sometimes the Shulchan Aruch Rav. You know, but he doesn't go beyond Shmuz Yankov a few times. He doesn't quote contemporaries. Why? Why over here do we find an exceptional quotation of Reb Meir Simcha? Reb Simcha was admittedly one of the Gedolim, but he was a contemporary of the Chofetz Chaim. Why did he quote the Meir Simcha? He's not very. He was the same time. Why, so there is an historical. Is it called a titbit? So they say. They say there was a convention. So they say. So it's Rav Shach used to say, share this story. And they say that it's a true reasoning behind it. There was a European gathering of Rabbonim, which was there was a decree, the Polish law used to, there was a law imposing the schools and the chadorim to impose them to teach Polish language, and it was a very serious issue for many moisters who refused to teach the Polish language. All the Chadorim did, they refused to do so. So there was a meeting of all the Gedolei Yisrael, which included the Chofetz Chaim, of course, and the Simcha, to discuss this matter. There was a disagreement between the Gedolim on how to deal with this. I do not know which side held what? Some felt one should go and fight it and not ignore it, and some said we should try to find a way to appease it and somehow try to make things work. I do not know, I can guess, but I don't know for a fact who held what. This meeting was a little bit of a tense meeting. This meeting, high-level meeting, the most superior, most senior Rabbonim Gdolim of Europe. And the meeting went, I can't say went sour, but it went a bit tense. And the Chofetz Chaim, after the meeting, felt that he had said perhaps things which were not as elegant and as appropriate to Rimei Simcha. He felt that this was a very important topic, and it was a hotly debated topic, and he felt that he had addressed Rimei Simcha not sufficient respect. Therefore, in order to show that he really, truly had such a high esteem for him, and in a way to appease, only once, and only once, does the Chofetz Chaim quote a contemporary Gadol, and this is here. He quotes before, actually, to be honest, it's not even such an important halacha. You know, he just says another explanation why you have to build the shef from that side. You know, the Chofetz Chaim, doesn't seem to be such a, it doesn't seem to prioritize such a vod. He felt he had offended on his high level of midas. He had felt it perhaps offended Rabbi Simcha, therefore he quoted him over here. What an interesting, what do you think about it? That's the history behind this quotation by Alochem. Some historians, it's always going to be like that when you have stories like that. Some historians have questioned this story because of the years. It doesn't seem to be perfectly aligned with the convention. But nevertheless, it's a very there may be ways to explain that as well. So Lemais, this is the background of why Mesimcha is quoting by Alochem over here. Okay, Rabbi says Dave Gimel. Have you ever experienced this? Have you ever experienced the following shaila? What happens if a person blows a shofar for lechol hashlim and he cannot complete his tkiyas? It's just not working out. He blows and blows and blows and blows and it's not working out. So yashlim acher, another person can sub him. Even three or four people can take over. For Dabi Brach Shabbat Rishon, it's sufficient to have one bracha. The bracha of the former covers all of them. As long as the second Baal Tekeh was also present during the brachas. Not even that. But what happens if the Baal Tekeh makes a bracha and these keys are just not working out? It's just not happening. He tries and he blows and he tries and he tries. No sounds are coming out, and it would appear that he didn't do any valid tkiyas, and you have to pass on to shofar to another colleague of his. Hasheni to kabbalay bracha, the second baal tekeh does not recite any brachas, velo yahavu bracha batola, and it's not considered bracha batola. So Rabbi said, what it means is, if there's one bracha being recited, even if the tkiyas are not working out, but somebody else takes over that shofar and he blows instead of him. Oh, and then somebody else, and then somebody else, somebody else. That bracha covered everybody. And that's, there's no need whatsoever for the second person to say his own bracha. Yeah.
And a 4 seconds.
Yeah, even. No, yeah, it's not. Correct. Now, it is.
What happens, Rabbi?
Yeah.
What happens if there's nobody in the shul? A second or third person can blow the shofar, and they have to go outside to get somebody. Does that then somebody have to make the bracha again?
That's a good question, Stephen. It's a very good question. What happens if they have to move premises? So if,
or get somebody from another shul in to do it.
Yeah. So the answer is, in such an instance, a new bracha will be recited. In fact, if somebody else comes in who didn't hear the bracha initially, who wasn't present during the brachas, then the brachas will have to be said again.
And it's not hesed for them.
Correct.
For the yeah.
Yeah. Even yeah. Them, yeah. 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 It won't be. Yeah. Because it's a kosher bracha. Okay. Seif Gimel. Which is it? So Seif Dalet. Acha to kevelo shteach tzibu. The person who davens should not be the one who blows. the one blowing and the one who davens should be two separate people. Kidei shelo yisbal ben, in order to avoid confusion. It must be very hard to blow and daven, that must be hard. So we're trying to avoid confusion. However, if this particular chaz knows, no, I can daven and blow, that's fine. So if he's confident, he's not going to get confused, he may do so. Says the Gemara, that's only with regards to the tkiyas which are blown during the Shemoneh Esrei. Haval tkiyas shetekim biyusha, but the former tkiyas, that's at the beginning, tainu kodim shpe'al musaf, so, if there is, if the Baal Tekeah wants to, so if the by the first tkiyas that are said before the Shemoneh Esrei, that's not a problem. He can do it. So the Baal Musaf can blow the tkiyas before Shemoneh Esrei. If him ain't a shliach tzibul tekeah miyushov, he ra'ui le'sho'oysoi ha'tekeah yitkeh gam kin al-seder ha'bochus, ki ha'maschel b'mitzvah o'im l'ngemoi. What is better, Rabbi Yisai? Is it better for one person to blow all the tekeahs, or is it better to split into two? You know, we're splitting the tekeahs into two parts. There's a first tekeahs, and then after there's a second set of tkiyas which are done during Shemoneh Esrei, either during Shemoneh Esrei or after Shemoneh Esrei. Yeah, I mean, they're all part of the second. They're part of the second grouping.
Yeah, but there's a long gap.
It is, yeah, but it's part of the second grouping. Tkiyas the Mishum and tkiyas the Movement. So now I want to know: is it better to have one Baal Tekeah, or better to have two? If there's one person who can. Oh, absolutely. So the Ramah says, Hamaschel b'mitzvah min ha'gemoy. It is far better to have one Baal Tekeah for all the tkiyas. Hamaschel b'mitzvah, then we start the mitzvahs, oy milay, we tell him gemoy to finish off. The Mishmur says that there is an acceptable approach to allow for two because of chiv of mitzvah. You know, everybody wants to chap the mitzvah, everyone wants to do the mitzvah, so it is at times acceptable for two people to blow, but the Ramah again says maschil b'mitzvah min ha'gemoy, should be one person trying to blow all the tkiyas if possible. Now again says the Ramah, bottom line, now again ha'kos lifnei ha'tkiyas say that tkiyas mila b'mila kedei shalayit nochanu. The Ramah says there's a good minhag, a right minhag, a wise minhag, that before every tkiyas somebody calls out which tkiyas can be said. Now. There's a very interesting discussion over here. So again, what do we do? The Ramah said it's a good minhag that you say which tkiyas to be blown. What do we call this? The Baal Makir. So you say tkiyah, blows the tkiyah. Shvarim. Yeah. So he said it's a good idea. The question is, I understand certainly from the second tkiyah onwards, I understand it. But what about the first tkiyah? Is there potentially a problem with regards to the first tkiyah? So, there is a bracha, and then afterwards, the Baal Makir says, tkiyah, and then afterwards he blows the shev. Could that potentially be a problem, yes or no?
Hafsik,
yeah. Is it?
Well, he's doing it.
For the mitzvah, so you're right. You're right. The bialocha, the Mishnah does say that one can do that. The shayatzian of it does point out. It's a famous shayatzian. He says if there is no established minig to do so by the first kiyah, one should avoid it because of a problem of hafsik. If there's an established minig, then one could do so. If there's no established minig, one should skip it because remember, and it's simple that no Baal Tekeah is going to get confused by the first year. So you can't really say that Tzorichat, it's not Tzorich really. He knows it's going to be a tkiyah, you know. So therefore, he said that it's a hefsek, it might be a hefsek, there's no need for it really. So by the first year, if there's, one should perhaps not be makir the first year. There is a minik, if there is a minik, one should continue the minik, but if there is no minik, then one should not be makir the first year. I don't know, what do most shuls do? They do? In Shtibel, how does it work in Shtibel? In Shtibel, they do it. The first kiyah Sometimes it's not so obvious. The first kid, so there's the Bachas. Who recites the Bachas? Rav? Yeah, he says the Bachas. And then after, then he blows. Says, who says, who is the Makkah?
The
And is he Makkah by the very first kid?
Yeah. Well, listen out this time, I'm sure he is.
Yeah. So, right. So, if they didn't establish Minik, yeah. Alokha says, Mishnah Buddha said, here also, right? If there is no establishment, one shouldn't do that. I'm not sure he does, actually. Are you sure? But the first year. I remember listening out last year, and I don't remember what it was. Yeah. He does. Yeah. Yeah. Now, again, he's not going to get confused. There is an interesting... the Sforim writes of the Kabbalah, that's probably why some should stick to it religiously, that of the Kabbalah one should... Al Pekabolah one should be Makkah. Al Pekabolah is an Indian that every Tekiah should be called and invited based on so that's why Al Pekabolah but
only for the first night,
yeah, only for the first Tekiah, very first Tekiah,
even though you have to blow Minatoy, you have to blow
but still the Bach is really So, interesting, maybe not what we'd have expected Mishnah Berurah to tell us. Mishnah Berurah discussed over here, what happens if the shofar is just not happening? What should you do? What guidance and advice on a shofar which is not listening? As Mishnah Berurah says over here, in the name of Morgan Avram, in the name of the Ma'aril, so this is ancient, times of Nili Deyeshonim, Pam Ach Liskoya, once the shofar didn't work, what do you do if the shofar doesn't work? You turn the shofar around, any advice? The shofar is not happening. Oh, yeah, what do you say? You say anything? Yes, B'alochas Mishnah Berurah says, in the name of the Ma'aril, Pam Ach Liskoya, once the shofar didn't work, he turned the shofar around, exactly what he said. He called into the shofar. And he says the posting in Tehillim, Vayinoyam. And then they were able to blow. Interesting, this is what the Ma'aril said he did, and it worked. I have not personally experienced this ever. But you try it out. Well, don't try it out. But if the shofar ever doesn't work, that's what the Shavuot says. The name of the Ma'aril. That's the advice taken.
Well, after he said the
bracha. Yeah. That's exactly the question discussed over here. But then he said the Ma'aser, you can't do it.
Sorry.
Yeah. The Mishnah Berurah also says at the end of Sitkot.
After 3 and 4 people tried it.
I don't know what stage. Yeah, perhaps. Perhaps after a couple of people tried it. Perhaps the Baal Tekiah is so adamant. No, no, I can do it. Give me a chance. I just need to say Vayinoyam. Yeah. The Mishnah Berurah reminds us of here of an obvious halacha, which is perhaps less of mystical nature. He says that the Makre and the Tekiah, Ro'u Elohim Shilmedu Heitev Dinei HaShofar V'Seder HaTekiyos. The Baal Tekiah and the Makre, they should know the halachas. They should know the halachas. The halachas are discussed later. They should know them. People sometimes make mistakes and there's questions and they should be well versed in the halachas. And they must know what to do. Do they carry on or do they go back or how did it? What did it deal with the shaila? So therefore, the ones dealing with the blowing of the shofar, they should know the halachas. Finally, Rabbi said for this evening, Hanoi Tel Tzchah, top of page 114, Hanoi Tel Tzchah, Leitka HaShofar B'Rosh Hashanah, the one who takes payment for the blowing of the shofar, Oikedele Spalel, or in order to, or the Baal Tefillah, somebody taking payments for it, Oy Letagim Shabbos Yom Tovim, or anybody who does the leaning on Shabbos Yom Tovim, or the equivalent of the leaning, the translations, Einu Yiroyim Eisus Tzchah, Simon Brocha, he will not hear a bracha blessings from their payment. It's not what we call in plain English gebench the geld. You know, sometimes money, you know, like they say that. I just heard a story. Somebody wanted to buy something on sales, a washing machine on sale during the 9 days. Yeah. He asked the Rav, and the Rav said, listen, make it then you're allowed to, but it's not a great idea. You want to see Simon Bracha from buying things in the 9 days. So, you know, you're going to save yourself £50. I don't think it's recommended. This particular Rav said, it's, the story goes, Rabbi Duna. So, but this person said, oh, no, it's, I'm going to go for it. He bought it. And of course, as soon as he got home, it broke. And it wasn't within the warranty. There were some problems with the warranty and everything. It cost him a lot more money to buy a second one. So that's what he means. Now, if the money is not, So he also, but there's actually more halachic perspective to that, because when he's not at work on Shabbos. So work on Shabbos is also, if your work is to daven for the Amos, your work is to blow, you might be getting paid for it. So Ein Roy is called Schar Shabbos, wouldn't be allowed to do that. So there's two aspects. So one is the fact that you don't get bracha from work on Shabbos, whatever it may be. Besides that, also there's a shayla of Schar Shabbos, and which is anyway a problem. The only way to rectify that, the Shulchan Aruch taught us elsewhere, is by doing what? How do you rectify Schar Shabbos shayla? Havlo. So you blow also a couple of days. The example of the Baal Tekeh. Say you're the Baal Tekeh in Rosh Hashanah in a fancy shul, and they want to pay you $2,000 for it. So how much it goes for a lot of money? Yeah? So you want to blow the shofar for a few thousand. So you can't just blow on Rosh Hashanah. You also got to show up a few days in Elul. You blow the shofar a few times. Then officially the payment is also for that, and also for that, and that's considered havla, being swallowed up, and that's okay. Therefore, the minig is, Rabbi said, the minig is the big chazonim who daven Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur in the shuls, they also make a point of doing some slichas. There's a lachi reason for that. Pardon?
Is that also called harama?
No, because it's called havla. It generally is, the payment goes for both. I can understand what you're saying.
I heard a story once about a chazon that he wasn't well on like Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah.
So he took them to. He said, "Look, I want my money." They said, "Well, you haven't."
Absolutely. That's exactly it. Yeah, please that you remember it. Yeah, I'd forgotten it. Yeah, but that's right. Okay, Rabbi said, just to summarize what we learned this evening, we spoke about the tears to be on the right side of the mouth, if possible at all, and the shofar should also be facing up. We spoke about if once a bracha was recited and the tekiahs don't work, one could swap to other balei tekiah. They don't make their own bracha as long as they were present in shul during the brachas. We also said that the person who davens musaf shouldn't be the one blowing the shofar unless he's overconfident that he can do it. We also said that the minhag is to have a baal makir should always be calling out which tekiahs come. We spoke about the bialocha, the shatzian not liking it so much with regards to the first tekiah because the person is unlikely to get confused there. We also spoke about not getting paid for the tekiahs. It's not anyway siman brach, as well as also being a shayla of schar Shabbos. Finally, we learned that if the shofar doesn't work, the bliyas don't work, the tekiahs don't work, what are you meant to do? You turn around and you say, Vayinu Noam. Right, okay, Rabbi Yisai. I was wondering if that also applies to in Elul, and the tekiahs in Elul don't work. You should also try it out. I don't know. Okay, Rabbi Yisai, this is it for this evening, and this is it for this week, and this is actually it for... we're going to have a little break now. I don't know if you're going off next week or you are a bit later on. Either way, I wish you a very pleasant, refreshing, and relaxing break. Shun will be uploaded in Mirza Hashem B'Siyat Yishmaya. And I look forward, I very much look forward resuming with Shem in a couple of weeks after. It will be, the communication will go out to Mr. Shem to exactly where, I don't know. So, I wish you a very refreshing break. I hope you're going to enjoy yourselves a little bit, whether you're here or not. Yes, we are indeed.